Matthew chapter 8. Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. When he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. Great multitudes always seemed to follow Jesus. He had a hard time getting away from people because, I suppose, mostly because he did miracles and helped so many. Not as many followed him for the word of God that he spoke. Verse 2, and behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. So this leper had faith that Jesus could do anything. He had showed his power enough by now to establish faith in many people. Verse 3, and Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be ye clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. The leper didn't demand anything from Jesus. He left it up to him. He said he knew he could do it, but he left it in his hands, and Jesus did it. That's a good way to pray. Pray to God. Ask him for what's on your heart. Ask him to correct the things that bother you. Tell him that you know he can do it, or you wouldn't be praying. And then leave the end result in his hands. Trust him to do what is best. Verse 4, and Jesus said unto him, see that you tell no man, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. So Jesus didn't want him to go and broadcast his miracle all over the place. He already had too many people that were just coming to him to see a man working miracles. He was more interested in communicating the word of God, and he tells this man to go to the priest, which is what somebody who felt that they were cleansed of leprosy needed to do. They needed to go through the proper procedures, have a priest declare them to be clean if they were in fact healed, and then they could be let back into society. And because, as it were, he was ostracized because of his contagious disease. But Jesus wanted him to go through the normal legal steps. God wants us to obey all laws. Verse 5, and when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, and that would be his headquarters, there came unto him a centurion who was a Roman captain in charge of at least 100 men. And he was beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lies at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And so he brings his trouble to Jesus as well. And this is a Roman soldier, a high-ranking Roman soldier too. 7, and Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. And so Jesus graciously declares that he will walk the distance, however far it was, to heal this Roman, because Jesus wasn't just concerned about the Jewish people. He was and he is concerned about the entire world. Verse 8, the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, probably because he was a Gentile. You know, Jews called Gentiles dogs, and they knew it. And Jesus was proclaiming himself as the Jewish Messiah, and a lot of people felt he was. This Roman soldier knew that was somebody important, and he just didn't feel like he was worthy. So he was very humble. And then he goes on to say, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. He had faith in the word of God. If you just say it, Jesus, I know everything will be okay. And he tells why in verse 9, for I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go and he goes, and to another, come and he comes, and to my servant, do this and he does it. So this centurion knew about authority. And he knew, he believed that Jesus had authority to do anything he wanted to do. And he could command sickness to disappear, just like this Roman soldier could command those 100 soldiers under him. Verse 10, when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said unto them that followed, Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. This man had faith in Jesus. Faith in the power of Jesus, and faith in the goodness of Jesus. And there were a lot of Israelites who could not match that. In fact, Jesus said there wasn't anybody in Israel that had that kind of faith. None of the Jews had that kind of faith. And I suppose that would include his apostles too. 11, and I say unto you that many, talking about Gentiles, shall come from the east and the west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. In other words, many Gentiles are going to be saved, which was unheard of if you were a Jew. But the children of the kingdom, verse 12, that would be Israel, shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. They're going to die without God. Many, many Israelites are going to die without God and are going to go to hell. Well, many Gentiles are going to be saved. 13, and Jesus said unto the centurion, Go your way, and as you have believed, so be it done unto you. And his servant was healed in that selfsame hour. Faith gets results. When you pray with faith, believing that God can do it, and trusting him with the results, That'll get results, the results that God wants, and it's always what's best for us. Faith gets results in prayer. Faith also gets results if you want to be saved from hell. You have to trust that Jesus died on the cross and paid for your sins and ask him to save you. That's saving faith if you mean business. 14. And when Jesus was come into Peter's house, and that would be in Capernaum, his adopted hometown, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick with a fever. Peter's mother-in-law was sick. Verse 15, and he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. So she prepared a meal, having been healed by Jesus of a very high fever, which means that he not only healed her of the fever, but he also healed her of the consequences. Because a lot of times, having a fever can really be draining. And I had a fever for 13 straight days a while back. And I was beat. And it was a low-grade fever, but still, you know, after that many days, I was tired. And so she's got enough energy to jump right up and minister to Jesus and the other apostles. 16. When the evening was come, they brought unto him many who were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all who were sick. So Jesus shows his authority over demons. Verse 17. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, saying, Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. So Jesus is fulfilling scriptural prophecies which pointed to the Messiah. Verse 18. Now when Jesus saw great multitudes about him, he gave commandment to depart unto the other side, and that would be to the eastern side of the Sea of Galilee. And a certain scribe, and that would be someone who was an expert in the law of Moses, came and said unto him, Master, I will follow you wherever you go. He's excited about Jesus, isn't he? I'll follow you no matter where you go. A lot of people say that. But how many follow through once the initial excitement wears off? 20. And Jesus said unto him, The foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. He didn't give him any false promises of health and wealth or anything else, of good times. You want to follow me? That's great. But I just want you to know up front, it's not going to be easy. Verse 21. And another of his disciples, this was not one of the 12, said unto him, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Let me go and take care of my father until he dies, and then I will follow you. Seems reasonable, right? Well, verse 22, but Jesus said unto him, follow me, and let the dead bury their own dead. Let the dead bury their dead. In other words, let the spiritually dead, those who are unsaved, those who do not follow me, bury their physically dead. Now, this man wanted to follow Jesus, but he wanted to put it off. And Jesus is saying, no, you're not going to put, you're not going to be able to put someone else, even a family member, above what I want you to do. Either obey me or not. But you know, delayed obedience is disobedience. So it wasn't good enough that he would follow him sometime. It's not good enough that we will follow Jesus sometime. He wants us to follow him now. If the Holy Spirit gives us wisdom, reveals to us the truth of God's word, then it is imperative that we act on it now. And don't put it off, because you know what's going to happen? More times than not, you put it off, and all of a sudden something else will come up, and you'll put it off longer until pretty soon you just completely forget about it. And I love this story, verse 23. And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. It was a big fishing boat, not a ship like the Queen Mary or anything. Verse 24, and behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea. So there's a great storm, and they're in the Sea of Galilee. And as much as the ship was covered with waves, but he was asleep. Jesus was a man, 100% human as well as being 100% God. And he had to put up with all the weaknesses that we did. He must have been dead tired, because he is sleeping like a log in the middle of this storm with waves splashing up, hitting everybody in the face, no doubt hitting Christ in the face, and he's just sleeping like a baby. Not a care in the world. That's what happens when you're close to Almighty God. He gives his servants a good night's sleep. That's what the Bible teaches, because they trust in him. So Jesus is sleeping, 25, and his disciples came to him and woke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. Well, they did the right thing. I don't blame them for thinking that they were going to perish. This was a bad storm, and the waves are flying over the boat, and they know who to go to for salvation. They turned to Jesus. Verse 26, he said unto them, why are you fearful, O you of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. You know, it was right for them to wake Jesus up and say, Lord, help us. This is a bad storm. Help us. It was wrong for them to say, we're going to perish, because that betrayed a lack of trust in Jesus. Verse 27, but the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? What manner of man is this? He's the God-man, because only God can control the weather. I mean, even today, with all of our science and all of our technology, we can't control the weather. We can't stop the wind from blowing. We can't stop the rain from falling. There's no way. These are things that only God can do. And he stopped this severe storm in the middle of this sea and saved his disciples' life. They knew he was more than a man. If they didn't know before, they know now. He's more than a man. Verse 28. And when he was come to the other side, that would be the eastern side of the Sea of Galilee, as I mentioned earlier, into the country of the Gergesenes, there met him two possessed with devils, coming out of the tombs, exceedingly fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. They lived in the cemetery. Nobody wanted them around, and everybody stayed away from them because they were crazy. They were insane with evil. The demons inside of them were filled with hate and just wanted to destroy anything they possibly could destroy, which is why the people stayed away from them. They're scared to death of these people. 29, and behold, they cried out, these two demon-possessed men, saying, what have we to do with you, Jesus, thou Son of God? Notice, the demons knew who Jesus was. A lot of people didn't know that Jesus was the Messiah, let alone the Son of God. But the demons knew. The demons knew that Jesus was the Son of God, eternal Son of God, as well as being man. You know, the demons' theology is correct. The problem with the demons is you can't trust them because they lie. But they know. They're not stupid. What have we to do with you, Jesus, thou Son of God? Are you come here to torment us before the time? See, they know they're going to be sent to hell. They know there's a time. They evidently know approximately when that time will be. And they figure if Jesus is going to, and they also know that Jesus is the one who's going to send them there. And they're just afraid that Jesus is going to send them there early, earlier than what was planned. Verse 30, and there was a good way off from them, and herd of many swine feeding. So the devils besought him, saying, if you cast us out, suffer us to go away into the herd of swine. See, demons like to inhabit a body. Whether it's an animal or a man, they don't care. They want to inhabit a body so that they can flesh out their evil desires, which is to destroy. So they asked Jesus to send them into the swine instead of into hell. 32, and he said unto them, go. So Jesus gave them his approval, which means that demons can't do anything without the approval of our Lord Jesus Christ. And when they were come out, they went into the herd of swine, and behold, the whole herd of swine ran violently down the steep place into the Sea of Galilee, and perished in the waters. And demons once again are seen doing what they do best, destroy. That's what they exist to do. They are just pure, 100% evil. 33. And they that kept them fled and went their way into the city and told everything and what was befallen to the possessed of the devils. So the swineherds went into town, told everybody about how these demon-possessed men were delivered by Jesus, and also how the demons went into the pigs, and they're all dead. Now, they want to make sure that everybody understands that that's what happened, because they were responsible for the well-being of that flock, or not that flock, that herd. So look at this, verse 34, and behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus, and when they saw him, they besought him that he would depart out of their coast. We don't want you here, Jesus, because you cost us money. You allowed those demons to destroy our herd of pigs, and that's a lot of pork chops. That's a lot of hams that went flying into the Sea of Galilee. That's costing us a bundle. See, they cared more about their money than they did about these two poor men who had been delivered of demons. They got their life back, but these people didn't care. They were more interested in wealth than they were in the spiritual welfare of themselves or others. And this is why we saw, I think, last time, that Jesus said you cannot serve God and wealth. You can't. They compete with each other. They chose to serve wealth. Get out of here, Jesus. We don't want you. Fine. Guess what? We're going to see next time, he's going to leave. So they just squandered their opportunity for salvation from hell. Why? Because they lost a few bucks when Jesus allowed those pigs to perish.